This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run and this is Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind the headlines and explore what's driving the press. I'm Koo Soo Chung and I'm together with Wong Xiaoning. We're talking about the political chaos over the weekend and what this means for Malaysia. Reports came out yesterday that a new coalition might be brewing and speculation was spurred by a series of meetings in KL by various political parties. So what's happening? Well, to shed some light on the issue, we've got on the line with us Ibrahim Ben Sufian, the Program Director of the Medica Centre, for some analysis. Ben, how surprised were you, are you, over what's brewing? Do you think this is a long time coming?
Hello, Ben.
Maybe he is still surprised by what's happening over the weekend. It was, I mean, it did come as a huge surprise to all of Malaysia. The speed, the scale, the magnitude of what happened, the developments over the Sunday that happened, Xiaoning. But we saw the Pakatan Presidential Council meet on Friday night, and there was some certainty in terms of the time frame, the November APEC meeting. And then Saturday happened, and then Sunday happened.
But I think on Saturday, we did also get some news reports that said that the meeting did take longer than expected. It was supposed to be a three-hour meeting, and then the meeting went on to midnight. And there were also news reports that Bersatu had threatened to leave the coalition because they were not happy when Tun M was pressed for a definitive timeline, which was eventually settled that, okay, he would leave according to his own schedule, which would happen after APEC. And that was what happened on Saturday. But on Sunday, somehow, from about, I think, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we started getting noises that there were lots of political meetings, respective political meetings happening all over KL.
Okay, I think we've got Ibrahim Sufian back on the line. Of course, he is the Program Director of the Medica Centre for some analysis. Now, Ben, are you surprised over what's brewing? Do you think this is a long time coming?
No, hi, good morning, everybody. Not surprised about what's going on. I mean, in fact, this thing has been talked about for at least the last 6 to 7 months. And, you know, every time we approach a parliamentary session, we are all on tenterhooks to see whether or not the big move will take place. And I suppose it has in some fashion, but as we currently speak right now, things are still in motion. It has not really settled down yet.
And Ben, why is the attempt being made now, right after, like what we said, the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council, which met on Friday night, which supposedly also settled the power transition question?
Well, I think, you know, I think more honest answer to that is, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on. Many parties with deep interest in either securing their position or coming back to position of power. And that not everything is, I think, orchestrated the way that it was originally planned. I think what happened on Friday night was something that came to a surprise from the allies and the backers of Dr. Mahathir, in the sense that they expected a much tougher fight or tougher negotiation trying to secure the exit date. They expected that their coalition partners would be more strident in forcing a specific transition date. And, you know, after several hours of meeting, it ended up being a unanimous decision to allow him to pick a time of his own choice. But notwithstanding that, you know, the other forces at play had already, you know, set in motion series of meetings and also discussions in order to round up support for him in case he was not able to secure the date. And my speculation, and this is a speculation, is that a lot of these operators potentially, you know, went off on their own in order to try and force a decision and, you know, upend the coalition and bring their allies and friends to form a new government. But I think as things stand, it is still in a state of flux. The present coalition still stands, but it is teetering in a sense.
So what is quite clear right now, Ben, is the fact that the king, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, is the one of the key individuals in the equation now. What options do you think he has and what directions do you think he's going to take?
Well, I think, you know, he's done some meetings from what we learned in the media yesterday, where he's met with leaders of the parties. And from what I'm informed, the leaders of the parties and I think faction leaders have displayed or assured him that they support the prime ministership of Dr. Mahathir. I think on the sidelines, I think many of these people feel that with such numbers, they can form a new government as well. And so it really depends on the current Prime Minister, because he does enjoy an overwhelming majority support from the MPs in the House, whether or not he wants to change the coalition or whether or not he wants to stick with what he currently has, or even change a little bit its configuration. But, you know, the Agong himself cannot dissolve Parliament to call for election. He has to do so on the advice of the Prime Minister.
And Ben, going back a little bit, do you think that Anwar Ibrahim was really blindsided by this? Was there any? Did he have any inclination as to what was happening?
I think he does know what's going on, because, you know, the political arena in Malaysia is a very small one, and nearly all of the players are known to one another. You know, at some point in time, all of them had belonged to the same political party or had been friends from their early days in the political careers. And so they know one another, and they probably know, you know, the plans of each other as well. But I think situation as it unfolded yesterday may have, you know, done at such speed where there's some surprise, you know, for Dato' Sri Anwar, in the sense that he didn't expect that the coalition was going to be terminated last night. And so we saw the statement saying that the coalition or the government had been betrayed by some people in his coalition partners and his own party. So you can sense there is there's something going on there, which speaks of knowledge about what's going on, but at the same time, some level of surprise at the speed with which it took place.
What is the current state of support, in your opinion, Ben, for UMNO and PAS at the moment? Do you think they're strong enough to challenge for government? And in fact, how big a segment of the population would actually be in favour of this new coalition?
You know, the political numbers have become very fluid these days, in part because we know that in recent months, you know, Pakatan Harapan's popularity has plummeted. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that popularity for UMNO and PAS has increased. You know, what we have seen, I think, in the last year or so, is increased polarization along ethnic and religious lines towards the political parties. With the formation of the cooperation between PAS and UMNO, you know, PAS and UMNO potentially together could capture about 80% of the ethnic Malay support. But then, you know, the electorate has also been expanded to 18 years old. And that, I think, adds a level of uncertainty to what extent young people vote for UMNO and PAS. So that is still an unknown factor. But many of their politicians assume that they have a full, overwhelming majority support from the Malay public. But for any party to form government in Malaysia today, they also need support from the East Malaysian parties, you know, Gabungan Parti Sarawak and also Parti Warisan Sabah. And I think there it, there's some level of, I think, consideration for the Sabahans and the Sarawakians to join a fresh coalition with UMNO and PAS. You know, as we know that, you know, Sabah and Sarawak has a much more watered down ethnic identity problem, not as acute as it is in West Malaysia. And I think the coalition parties as well over there are multi-religious, multicultural. So there will be some, I think, reservations about working with PAS. So while they all support Dr. Mahathir's premiership, from what we are told, I'm not sure whether they want to be in the same government with the Islamic Party. So they can't form government on their own. So Bersatu, UMNO and PAS alone can't form government. They need the parties from Sabah, Sarawak.
So Ben, does this mean there will be or will there not be a change in government?
I suspect, and this is just, you know, speculation because I don't really know, but I suspect that we might see a reconfiguration, like a PH plus type of arrangement, because to form a new coalition right now would be very, very disruptive. It depends in the hands of the Prime Minister and also the leaders from his own parties and his supporters, whether or not they can continue to work with their present coalition partners, or they want to go off ahead and, you know, work with the UMNO and PAS people, and whether or not that's a really viable government. They have to consider that.
And meanwhile, Ben, there's been very little noise coming from Amana and DAP. You know, what do we make of this?
I think they are trying to assess the situation and trying to figure out, you know, where the noise is coming from. I think a lot of noise that we're seeing emanating on social media and people speaking to the media and the speculation that the Pakatan Harapan coalition government has fallen, you know, comes largely from proponents of the Pakatan National, the Bumiputra coalition proponents. Instead, we are not sure whether or not that really is going to pan out. So I think they are waiting to see that transpire. I understand that the leaders of DAP and Amana is meeting the Prime Minister this morning. So perhaps there will be more clarity with respect to their position, I think, as the hours unfold in the coming day.
So what does this do for the integrity of the coalition Pakatan Harapan right now? In fact, will there be fresh elections being called? And lastly, very quickly, Ben, what happens with Najib?
Well, I think the integrity of the coalition is shaken right now. A lot of things are, I think, up in the air and dependent on whether or not, you know, parties like Bersatu remains willing to work with the DAP and Amana, or whether or not they can work together with some adjustments in the lineup of the cabinet ministers and the kind of power sharing that they currently have. So I think in the longer term, if, let's say, they stick with the Pakatan Plus format, meaning Pakatan Plus additional MPs to give the government stability and strong footing within the Malay community, it may end up being a better deal. You know, and I also do not think that the present leadership is, you know, going to let, you know, the misdeeds of previous leaders go unpunished, go without proper judicial process.
All right, thanks, Ben, ever so much for sharing your thoughts with us. We'll no doubt be checking in with you regularly as the situation unfolds. That was Ben Sufian, the program director of the Merdeka Centre. We're going to take a quick break now, but don't go away. We'll be coming back with more commentary on these developments that affect the economy and Bursa Malaysia. BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're with me, Khoo Soo Chuang, and Shao Ning on Pressing Matters, where we go behind the headlines. And of course, the headlines today are all about the political machinations going on behind the scenes and whether a new coalition government is in the works. And of course, if there's anything that business and markets hate, Shao Ning is about uncertainty. And all this uncertainty obviously has an impact on the local share market. So to join us for some thoughts on this is P. Gunasegram. He's the editor-in-chief of Focus Malaysia. Thank you for joining us, Gunam. Now, obviously, this isn't the first time that Tun Mahathir has broken up the government. And you yourself wrote an op-ed 3 years ago asking the question of whether Tun Dr. Mahathir can be trusted. Are you therefore surprised by the news over the weekend?
It did take me by surprise. I didn't think he would go to UMNO and PAS so soon. And especially when on Friday, the Anwar had basically given him a blanket approval to step down when he wanted to. So why this then is the question mark.
And Guna, so, you know, how do you think the market's going to react? We already saw the KLCI, right? It's opened down 1.41% to 1510, and you know, the US dollar against the ringgit is 4.2172. So how this, what do you think the outlook will be? Because we are already such an unloved market, right? Will it make us even more undesirable to investors then?
Yeah, definitely. As you well know, investors do not like uncertainty, and this has opened up uncertainty which will not be settled anytime soon. The uncertainty is not settled if a new coalition is formed. The uncertainty is not settled if it is not formed as well. So the this is a it assumes a new coalition is going to be formed, and most likely will be. Then who are so disparately different before going to work now, and how are they going to trust each other? You know, I mean, Mahathir has actually clearly shown that words can take at face value, and he acts in his own self-interest. So these guys will be watching Mahathir all the time to see what is his next move. And what is the reason actually for coming into the coalition at this point of time? There must have been major horse trading taking place. Is Daid going to be in government? Is Nicola going to be in government? These people are all seen, you know, at a Sheraton Hotel, I believe. So they are all involved in this crossover. So it is a terribly uncertain time for Malaysia, and the markets will show it over the rest of this year, I think.
Yeah, Gunnar, what is
weakening
this?
Weakening and weakening mark.
Yeah, Gunnar, what does this mean for some of the manifesto promises made by Pakatan? You know, they talked about less government and business, no political appointees. Do you think this will be rolled back? Do you think a new coalition will continue to pursue these aims?
I think if the new government comes in, the question of manifesto promises is totally out the window. I mean, this is not a Harapan government anymore. No? It is an UMNO and plus Bersatu government, with the aid of Sarawakian and Sabahan parties. So the manifesto will not apply anymore. To put it bluntly, this is a coalition which is being created out of the doctrine of Malay supremacy. You know? So it will be basically a very ultra-Malay coalition which will be ruling this, you know? And even among the Sabah and Sarawakian, these are Malay groups which have aligned themselves with this coalition. So what is something about it is many of these people who are going to be previously involved in the kleptocratic party. So how does this jive with this overall stated aim of fighting corruption and putting the country back on the proper course? So we have taken several steps back
from the time of
the election.
All right, Gunnar. Thanks ever so much for your time. That was Peter Gunasegaram, the editor-in-chief of Focus Malaysia. So, obviously, interesting comments from Gunnar. Some surprising, some not so surprising. I guess for me, what is interesting is that he thought, Gunnar, that with a new government, if and when it happens, the doctrines and the manifesto promises will be out the window because it is not the PH coalition anymore. It is going to be a one that is comprised around, Malay supremacy doctrines.
And also just a rewind back to some of the policies Tun M did during his first term. And we already had hints of that, right? Just 2 weeks ago, there was a lot of discussion on this thing called Malaysian Inc. But for some of us, we remember Malaysian Inc. from the 1980s and 1990s when there was a lot of interaction between the private and public sector, right? And there was also the listing of what were public companies like Telecom, Tenaga. And was that a sign that we were going back to those ways when actually earlier on in May 2018, shortly after Pakatan came to power, they said less government in business. So I was also confused by the different kind of messaging coming out from the government.
Well, that era marked companies like Renault, Ekran,
Malaysian Airlines,
Tajuddin Ramli, Halim Saad, you know, these kinds of individuals. And some of them turned out all right and some of them didn't turn out all right. But it's interesting that these policies are coming back to the fore. I mean, the Third National Kind, in the sense that now we've got this with the NAP.
Which Tun Mahathir did reference when he launched the NAP. He said it would be unveiled when they actually find another private investor. But is that the way to go forward? Because we seem to be using old solutions to solve new problems that are faced today.
Yeah, I guess the biggest casualty of all this is the assets, the Malaysian assets, the KLCI, the ringgit. Both are being sold down at this point in time. Right now, the KLCI is at 1,509 points, as low as 1,502, 1,503 earlier intraday. And the ringgit is now 4.2175, so it continues to trend lower. This time last week, it was, on Monday last week, it was at 4.14. And today it's 4.21. So.
I mean, when you're investing, let's say in the short term in the equity markets, it's all a relative game, right? So you don't like uncertainty, you might as well park your money in other markets. So ironically, even China, which is the epicenter of the COVID-19 virus, has done better than us on a year-to-date basis. We are down 5%.
That's quite telling. Okay, that's all we've got on Pressing Matters today. Please stay tuned to the station for more updates and analysis on the political landscape. More coverage will be happening throughout the day. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.